Hello, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Not the Top 20 betting show, sponsored by Black Type Bet, who are giving a £10 free football selection away for anyone that signs up to Black Type using the offer code NTT20. No need to deposit anything, just sign up to Black Type using the offer code NTT20. You'll see a £10 free football bet in your bet slip. Listen to our picks, make your own conclusions, make a pick, try it out this weekend. That's blacktype.bet and a £10 free bet with the offer code NTT20. Many of you have already done so. Many of you already have an account, in which case Scoreboard is the way to go. A sensational winner this last weekend, Luke Jones it was. Six of you managed to pick the only 0-0 draw out of all 36 EFL games, which is very impressive in itself, but only one of you had the foresight to pick Rotherham and Brentford with over 4.5. That was Luke Jones. He's got a £20 free bet from Black Type to use this weekend, and you can get involved as well. Simply tweet us a game that will be 0-0 and a game that will have over 4.5 goals in the EFL this weekend. You need to tweet us at NTT20pod and at BlackTypeBet. Over 18s only, of course. George Ellick is alongside me. My name's Ali Maxwell, of course. A tough week for us both last week, George. One of the worst for a while, actually.
Yeah, rubbish. Here we were a week ago saying this was going to be the turnaround. We both basically matched each other for poorness.
Yeah.
You had one winning selection, which thankfully was your nap, which was Blackburn to beat Ipswich. But nothing else except for that. I got my BTTS up and Donny Burton and Bristol City draw no bet. Why draw no bet, George? Just, you know, invest in your opinions, I guess. But it's easy to that now in hindsight. And so I was minus 3.3, you were minus 3.4. So I'm going to put that down in the win column for me. So that leaves me minus 6.19 and you minus 21.64.
Yeah.
As you know, as we were just saying off air, it's important to point out here that we are not embarrassed by these tallies. We're here to hopefully provide some help to those of you looking to have your bets on the weekend's football. And obviously, given that we have to choose a bet from each league and we have to choose a long shot, you know, this isn't necessarily the advised staking plan, but hopefully we're still uncovering some nuggets, which is helping you on the weekends anyway. I'm still hopeful I'll be in the profit come the end of the season. But there have been some highlights as well.
Well, we haven't mentioned the bonus pick that I presented last week.
Well, I don't think you should mention that, because I think you should. You can't be relying on bonus picks that don't go on the P&L to prove your good form. But anyway, let's move on.
14-1 winner.
Let's move on. Well, it wasn't part of the picks. But hopefully, I mean, if you did back it on the back of what Ali said, then that's good news. But let's move on to our actual picks now. And an absolute cracker in League Two for the Match in Focus.
Yes, Bury Lincoln, 5:30 PM. Sky Sports have picked this one up, showing it live, which is fantastic. A real chance to see two fantastic teams playing slightly different styles and very much over the course of the season becoming two of, if not the two, dominant teams in League Two. George, Bury the home team here, and Bury the favourites for this one. They've moved into second spot, and it's up to them now at the moment to be putting the pressure on Lincoln. This is a great chance to do it. The bookies like Bury. They're 2.3, 13-10 to win this game. The draw 3.3 and Lincoln 3.1 with Black Type. You've been taking a look at Bury, and thankfully we caught them live in midweek in a Checkatrade trophy game against Oxford on the old iFollow.
Yeah, the B team boycott didn't really work because I thought we could watch Forest Green Grimsby, but it was only overseas viewers, so we had to watch Oxford, which was a disaster. I'm really impressed by this Bury team. I mean, this looks like a top of the table clash, with Mansfield being the other in the three, and then MK Dons now the outsider of the four. And before this game, I would recommend taking the 5-1 about Bury to win League Two. This team, it was easy to get caught up in Lincoln early on in the season. They're the pre-season favourites or second favourites. They were very, very good early on, and they're still a fantastic team at this level. The data isn't quite so forgiving in recent weeks. I haven't seen much about the Yeovil game, but I think, you know, we expect them to win that pretty easily. But in terms of XG ratio in their last four or eight games, they've been lower half of the table. The defence is a bit of a concern as well. It was an important clean sheet against Yeovil, but they're not as solid as they have been. Bury, on the other hand, having had a consolidating start, having dropped down from League One, and now, in my opinion, quite comfortably the class team in this league, and they've got three or four players who just look way too good. And the addition of Nicky Maynard was the catalyst for this run of form. A team who are creating chances but not being able to put them away, got in a goal scorer who's now reaping the rewards. Danny Mayer's back in the form that we saw him in this league a few years ago, showing that he is quite clearly the best player in League Two, in my opinion. And then the likes of Neil Downs and Jay O'Shea basically shouldn't be playing in this league with the technical qualities that they've got. So Bury have won 6 out of 6 in all competitions in the last few weeks. They're scoring goals for fun. They've scored 3 goals, 4 goals, 4 goals and 5 goals in that 6.
Second top scorers in the whole of England this season.
And we could see, I mean, Oxford came out of the blocks quite well in the Checker Trade Trophy on Tuesday, and that they restricted them to very few chances indeed. The first was a penalty. The second was a kind of a long-range good strike from Sam Carruthers. So not only are they absolutely purring going forward, but they're also pretty solid at the back, and the data suggests this as well. It agrees that they're the second in the last 4 games XG ratio. So it's not just a lucky streak. Ryan Lowe is seemingly staying at the club despite interest from Luton at the moment, which is important here. I think this Bury team is has a bit of everything, and I'm, as you can probably tell, a huge fan going into this game.
Yeah, the XG against Yeovil was in Lincoln's favour, not necessarily surprising, but they did lose the XG battle against Crewe, Newport, Swindon and Cambridge in their last 8. So you can see why, in terms of balance of play, chances created, they're not projecting that well just in the last month or so. Over the course of the season, they are 4th Lincoln in the XG ratio table. These figures, I should say, we're getting from Fox Punter, Mike Holden's ratings service. It is much of a muchness between the top 4 in that metric. Mansfield 62%, Bury 60%, MK Dons and Lincoln 58%. So not much between the top teams in that sense. I think when you start to think, well, what are some of the reasons they might be overperforming their numbers? Because the results have been still pretty good in the last few weeks. They are a team that, if you just look at the individual personnel, and maybe I'm thinking a bit more about mentality and psychology, having sat down with Daryl Clark this week, an interview that you can listen to on the Not the Top 20 podcast page, wherever you found this one. But they're clearly linking a team who have a lot of good characters, a lot of leaders, experienced players. That sort of plays out in things like defending leads. When they've gone ahead, 14 wins and 4 draws, no defeats this season. But I sort of think when you compare these teams, obviously you look at the league table, Lincoln with a game in hand, they're still a few points ahead of Bury. You think maybe they are a slightly better team. But if you take out the first 4 or 5 games of the season, Bury only got 4 points from their first 5. A small hangover, really, compared to how other teams react to relegation. But there was a hangover from relegation. It took Ryan Lowe a few games to get things set up. Didn't have Maynard at that point. And now the system, which gets the best out of all of their key players, probably wasn't, you know, quite established at that stage. Lincoln, on the other hand, got 13 points from their first 5 games. So they flew to the top of the table. They were well set after last season. What that means is in the last 24 games, Bury have got 48 points. Lincoln 45 points from the last 23. So since Bury have been, you know, settled, they have been just as good, if not a bit better than Lincoln. So in this match, just a one-off match at Bury with such a strong home record, I think, George, it is quite difficult to not side with Bury, especially with Bruno Andrada still suspended for Lincoln. A huge blow for them. I really think, despite their system being efficient, and despite them having John Akinde up front, who will finish chances, Andrada just the only player that gave them a real spark on the ball, in comparison with the likes of Mayer and Jay O'Shea, who can beat a man so easily. So personally, I'm going with Bury and over 2.5 goals here at 11-5. And I feel like you are also shaking it.
Yeah, this is pretty easy, especially a black type, currently the best price on Oddschecker for Bury. So I'm not going to try and complicate it with the stats line as well. Just straight up Bury to win at 13-10.
Interesting wrinkle from this is that Lincoln, their away record, fantastic this season. 8 wins, 3 draws and 3 defeats. About as good, really, as it gets away from home. But they haven't played any of the top 6 away from home. So the 5 teams below them in the table, they've got to travel to all 5. Yet you do feel, with the margin so tight between the top 4 or 5 teams now, that could be play a major factor. And you know, psychologically as well, I think it would be huge if Lincoln could avoid defeat here. But we're both backing Bury. George, Bury straight up on the win. Myself, my pick Bury and over 2.5 goals. Lincoln don't really keep clean sheets. Bury keep some, but not that many. And crucially, they absolutely plunder the goals. Where's your nap this weekend, George?
The nap. I never thought I'd say this. The nap is at Swindon against Crawley.
Ooh.
The team that I, you know, hopefully this shows for those people who think that our prejudices have an effect on our opinions on the podcast. I'm pretty happy to say that I, as a football team, I despise Swindon Town.
I would say your love for the data overrides your fan love for Oxford.
Well, it's important.
Or Swindon,
I think it's important that, you know, you don't let personal grievances get in the way of logic. And Richie Wellens and Swindon are really, really good. That's the long and short of it. They top the XG ratio charts pretty comfortably. I think it's over 80% in their favour, which is absolutely extraordinary in the last four games. That he's cleared out a lot of the deadwood and brought in players. I mean, the signing of Danny Rose, for example, someone who's won multiple promotions from League Two, is a really, really good one. And yeah, I'm fairly excited for their fans. Personally, I'm not massively keen on it. And this is an unbelievable chance for them to continue picking up the points. The home form has been a bit of a concern. The last two games, they've drawn 2-0 with Lincoln, which is no bad result. But as you mentioned, they probably deserve to win that one on the basis of the chances. And they also lost at home to Exeter. But since then, they've beaten Macclesfield and Tranmere on the road. Crawley, in the last 13 away games, have lost 11. Winning just one of those. So you can see here where the problems for Crawley lie. And again, in terms of the data, they don't rank very high at all. So I don't really believe in manager bounces, personally. There's obviously something to suggest that the performances level can improve when a new manager comes in. And I think this is a case where the guy that's come in Wellens has changed the football club and changed the way they play football to make them a more effective team. So I don't think this is a bounce. I think this is just an improvement for Swindon. And again, I wouldn't put you off the 7-1 around on them to finish in the top seven this season, given how well they're playing at the moment. If I was pricing this game up myself, having not looked at the prices, I'd have had Swindon at least kind of, 4-6, 8-13. So the fact you're getting 17-20 about them is too good to not back. So as you can tell, I'm fairly happy.
Bullish.
I am bullish. I've had a decent go at it myself. There's a bit of blue on Oddschecker currently, so you might want to act fast, because I don't think that price will be knocking around come Saturday morning.
Yeah, really good few weeks for Richie Wellens and for Swindon, starting to move towards a late playoff push, perhaps. I probably shouldn't think like this. This might be one of my faults as a gambler, but I would consider this to be really boring. I'm picking Villa to beat Ipswich. You know, it's a reduced fixture list in the Championship anyway. And that's sort of scared me a little, not to just try and convince myself into something at longer odds just because there weren't that many options. Of course, we have to make a pick. There's nothing I really fancied at any sort of interesting price, so I'm going to just pick Aston Villa here at home to Ipswich. They're 8-15, 1.53 in decimals, and it's so simple. Villa absolutely plunder goals at home. Their recent general form has been cause for some concern, of course, and they have been giving up too many chances. But look, this is a team that has scored 32 goals at home this season, 2.29 per game. They have the top scorer in the league in Tammy Abraham. They are missing Jack Grealish, but they have the players in behind to create the chances for him. John McGinn has continued to play at a very high level, even if some of the other players around him are not performing as well as they could do. But a bit like last week when I picked Blackburn to beat Ipswich as my nap, this is very much on the Ipswich side of things. In that game, which finished, I think, 2-0 to Blackburn, 3.07 XG for Blackburn. Ipswich didn't really register a single shot until about the 40th minute, but actually ended up with 1.2 on the XG at 4, which is their best for a while. They haven't won the XG battle, Ipswich, in a game since the 3rd of November when they played against Preston. In that time, I'm just going to read out their XG 4. 0.64, 0.93, 0.6, 0.47, 0.62, 0.32, 0.86, 0.25, 0.88, 1.32, 0.54, and 1.2 in that game on the weekend. So just miserable when it comes to creating any sort of chances consistently across a game. And I just can't look past Villa here because Ipswich at the back, not particularly impressive at all. We saw them get that win against Rotherham and there was a flicker of hope, but looking a bit deeper, it was about as unimpressive a win as you can get. I basically think that they're doomed. I'm just going to take Villa at 1.53 at 8-15 as my nap and look to just to move on from this one, put it that way. So championship wise is where we'll go for you here, George. What did you find on this card? Because clearly, as you can tell, I went very safe, not really fancying anything else.
Yeah, it's kind of going with a team who maybe are running their course in terms of the good form, but I'm backing Hull again. Hull, rampant Hull, I think we can call them.
Yeah.
Despite dropping points away at Aston Villa, they played very well again. It's no fluke. Again, they're projecting very well on the shot data side of things. And they go to a Blackburn team who we often say are very reliant on their home form, which is absolutely true. There's no doubt that Rovers rely on that in order to, they're comfortably mid-table. They're 6 points off a playoff place. And that is in part, or basically in full, due to their form at Ewood Park. But they have dropped points against better teams in the league. You see Norwich beat them 1-0 a couple of weeks ago. Birmingham went there and got a point. And they also lost to Sheffield United early on in the season. Villa came away with a point as well. So when they are hosting the better teams in the league, it's not quite so simple. And at the moment, it's impossible to argue that Hull are anything but one of the better teams in the league. It looks like they're going to keep Jared Bowen at least until the end of the season. I think a January move's now off the cards, which means that he should be playing this weekend.
Krasicki seems, at the moment, fairly happy to stay.
Exactly, and everything's kind of solidly in place. And as I say, the run they're on at the moment is probably unsustainable. They will drop points, and I'm always fairly reticent to back someone when they're in the middle of a real purple patch. But at the moment, they're just a very good team, and they're going away to a club who are just under that level. And I think the odds of around, I think they're 13-10 Blackburn, is just way too short. I wouldn't be backing that in a million years. So as such, at 21-10, 1 point going on the Tigers to keep it going.
On the Tigers, like it. We've got this. We've got the same pick in League One, so I'll say my piece. Normally, I would let you do that, but I'm feeling a bit annoyed that you said you got the win last week with a 3.3 against a 3.4. So, let me tell you about Coventry at home to Blackpool. That's my pick in League One, and you can add anything that you think I've left out. They're 11-8 with Black type, 2.37 in decimals. They've won the XG battle, Coventry, in four of their last five, and it's been a bit of a theme of their season. There's a lot of teams in League One, like Shrewsbury and Wimbledon, Bristol Rovers, who have been massively underperforming their XG, and down the bottom, Coventry have also been underperforming their XG, but have still managed to maintain a pretty solid mid-table berth. And on paper, when you look at their team, the striker is a bit of an issue. They haven't been able to find consistently a striker to score goals. Hiwula looks like the one that they've sort of landed on at this stage. But behind the striker, you've got Connor Chaplin, Luke Thomas and Bright Enabakare on loan from Wolves as a three in a 4-2-3-1. Tom Bayliss penetrating from midfield. You can see why the fans sometimes think they should be doing better. They should be playing better football and they should be scoring more goals. But they do still create chances and you have to believe that they do and will continue to score. Blackpool are finding it tough at the moment to maintain that form from early on in the season. The feature of that early part of the season was unbelievably strong defence and tight games going their way. And that's not happening to the same extent. Recent numbers suggest that defence has started to give up more and more chances to the opposition. They've only scored two in their last seven league games, which is terrible. And those goal scorers that they have, the likes of Nondouye, Delfonso, that these aren't necessarily consistent goal scorers throughout their career. So perhaps not surprising to see them go through a lean spell. So at the price, 2.37, 11-8, Coventry were really the sort of standout in League One for me.
Yeah, I kind of agree with everything you say. This is about, for me, a team in Blackpool who are really struggling. I mean, they beat Portsmouth 1-0 in their last away game.
Yeah.
But you've got to look at the bigger picture here. Against Oxford, for example, in a game that I saw, they were absolutely terrible. really, really poor. And that seems to have been the story of their season away from home. We flagged them early on in the season as a team who are overperforming, and that seems to be coming back into fruition now in terms of them dropping down the table. And Coventry, I think, are massively underperforming, and it would be no surprise to see them go on a run soon. As everything you say, just a straight up Cov to win at 11-8.
So I think that just leaves my League Two pick here. It's Northampton at home to Morecambe. You messaged me earlier and said, I'm not sure if you've done your picks yet, but I've got a massive bet and I think you'll be on it as well. And I guessed immediately that it would be Swindon. So luckily there was something else in League Two that I fancied, because otherwise we would really have very, very similar picks this week. And it's Northampton home to Morecambe. Morecambe are having just a really, really tough time, a real lean spell. Matt Sieg, who we follow, who's a Morecambe fan, he's just saying that everything is just conspiring against the team at the moment. A lot of injuries. At the moment, they've got 4 injuries for attacking players, 4 injuries for midfield players. James Sinclair at the back and the goalkeeper, Barry Roach, who's been such a big part of their survival over the last few years. They've been playing Jordan Cranston, who's really a left back, a left wing back. He'd been playing in midfield for most of the season because they just don't really have anyone else. They've been relying on wingers to play up front in the last few games. And it's just not been good. The bench last weekend had 4 youth team players on. They're down there with Notts County in the form table, just 7 points from their last 10 games. Their XG numbers going forward are the worst in the league, both in the last 4, joint worst in the last 8, and the worst over the course of the season as well. They've scored just 4 goals in their last 6 games, and I went back and looked at them. A 35-yarder from Cranston in defeat at Tranmere. In a 2-2 draw, they scored a free kick from Tutt and an absolute worldly left-foot volley from Ellison. And then in their last game, it was a deflected strike from Ellison in that game against Stevenage. So generally not great signs, things that don't point towards, you know, them being unlucky and starting to plunder the goals. Actually, almost the opposite. As we've said before, we basically would back Morecambe in any game against anyone 18th and below. In relegation 6-pointers, they do the business. 3 wins, 3 draws in those games this season. But against teams above 18th, 4 wins, 4 draws and 15 defeats. So clear in which games they struggle and in which games they thrive. Northampton are not exactly purring at the moment. They've had a tough run of fixtures. They've drawn with MK Dons, Swindon and Yeovil recently. They beat Carlisle, which was an impressive result, and they lost away at Forest Green and away at Cambridge. I feel like they will be relieved to be back at home against a very beatable side. Junior Marias is finally playing in this Northampton side, signed in the summer, but he hasn't been involved at all really this season. But he's got 3 goals in his last 4. I would fancy him to score. I fancy Northampton to win this one at home to Morecambe. And so for them to be 10-11, you know, just a shade under even money, I thought that was a very nice selection. So Northampton home to Morecambe for me in League 2, which leaves BTTS and long shots. Let's do BTTS first, George.
Yeah, I don't know if you find the same, but there's so much data out there. With all the markets, obviously, but in BTTS, so often that every single one you look at that you think, this is a good one, you have a look in it, it's like 2-1, and you're not really that keen to put that up. But I like this Exeter-Cambridge BTTS, yes, 17-20. Cambridge, a team who are a different team again. I mean, as I was talking about earlier, they're a different team to what they were before Colin Calderwood came in. Over the course of the season, their average XG for is 1.29. The average XG against is 1.25. Now the average XG for is 1.73. And this is in the last 4 games, sorry. And the average XG against is 1.43. So you can see there, not only a difference in going forward, but a difference in general attitude, where not only are they creating more going forward, but they're slightly more porous at the back. Exeter, 1.47 XG going forward in the last few games, 1.44 over the last 8, and 1.47 over the whole course of the season. So you can see they're a team who rank fairly high for goals in terms of creating chances. They're a bit more solid defensively, but I think that Cambridge under Calderwood are obviously going to be a team who are going to give this a good go. Exeter strong favourites for the game, but you'd be surprised they didn't score. So it just seems to me a game where both teams looking to attack. Both teams have a lot to play for as well. So it's 17-20, which is basically a pick and price for BTTS. Happy to go on the side of yes.
Yeah, enjoyed that. You managed to make Calderwood like a a half syllable word, which I was really impressed.
Good.
That was the quickest, and you are a man that speaks quickly, but that was the quickest word you've ever said, which is impressive. I'm in the championship for my BTTS, and you're absolutely right. You do, you know, you look at the Fox Punter ratings and you look at which teams are sort of creating a lot and conceding a lot of chances. You work out the fixtures where those, you know, there are two teams who fit the bill, and then you go and check the odds. And yeah, it's always difficult to back anything really at the prices. So when I saw Stoke Preston at 1.95, I was pretty excited. 19 to 20, this one. Now, I know why this is the price that it is. BTTS in Stoke home games this season has been not landing, I think it's fair to say. This is not a place where you've seen both teams score. But when there's such a change, when there's a manager change from Gary Rowett to Nathan Jones, that sort of changes the way that a team plays, changes the way that a team sets up, changes the atmosphere, I think you can more or less wipe the slate clean. And that's what I'm trying to do here. Jones, I think, will continue to experiment tactically. We've seen him early on already trying to implement his 4-4-2 diamonds formation that he used at Luton. But last week, surprised Bielsa with more of a 3-5-2. I would expect that he would use this sort of game, home against Preston. And I don't think there's much pressure on him to be reaching the playoffs at this stage. I think the key for him now is to work out which players in this Stoke squad he thinks can go to war for him next season, and he thinks can fit and adapt to a system. What that means is there will be teething issues along the way. We saw against Brentford, the fullbacks just had a torrid time, because in that system, they have such a big job in a diamond midfield formation, and struggling to adapt, which is completely fair enough, a completely different style, different instructions than they would have had under Gary Rowett. So at the same time, he is clearly bringing a boost to the fans, to the atmosphere. The fans will be bang up for this. And we know that you can basically expect Stoke to have plenty about them now, I think, going into most games. But Preston, another team that we like a lot. We spoke about them at length on Monday. The fact that they're 18th in the table, and the fact that we're a bit confused about that, and we feel that that's a bit of a false position in terms of their actual quality. They've scored the sixth most goals in the league, Preston, so going forward, not been an issue. They've scored in 18 of their last 20 games in the league. And one of the things that has undermined them this season is that they haven't always been able to keep the opposition at bay. So just in terms of how much I like both of these teams, you know, to fancy themselves going forward, I don't see this being the sort of game where either team will sit back and be happy with a 0-0. So BTTS 1.95, I was pleasantly surprised at the price, and I'm grabbing it. Our long shot, George, I don't think we've ever had two of the same
picks.
So
weird, this. I can't believe we've gone for the same thing.
Well, my theory was that with a reduced fixture list, it became a bit more likely.
So many markets. Yeah. So many, I mean, that means it's going to be a winner, I guess.
I hope so.
Wickham, Plymouth. Plymouth and BTTS, we've both put it up at 5-1.
Yeah.
Completely independent of each other, which is good. I mean, my theory is that Plymouth matches equals goals at the moment. Yeah. And that much is clear. They've won four on the bounce in all comps. BTTS would have landed in three of those four. The one that didn't land in was the home win against Oxford, in which Oxford projected a very high XG despite the 3-0 loss as well. So that suggests that they were pretty leaky at the back. They played midweek as well, which is always a sign for me of a team who may struggle defensively, having had to face something of a barrage on Tuesday evening. Wickham, on the other hand, are a decent home team, a team who projects pretty poorly at the moment in terms of XG. So you can, you know, I think that Plymouth are a bet to win the game at 12-5 anyway. But Wickham don't draw many blanks at home, so happy to go with Plymouth to win and BTTS.
Yeah, very very similar thinking. Really, we need a bet that's 4-1 or above. One of the sort of go-to markets is, of course, the winner and BTTS market. Generally, if you pick the favourite and BTTS, that won't make it to 4-1. That'll be shorter than that. So generally, you are looking for a team that is not that fancied, but who you think's got a good chance of winning the game. And then, as you say, looking for a team like Plymouth, who are seeing plenty of goals go in at both ends at the moment. I just sort of think that Since we spoke to Gareth Ainsworth, since we bigged up Wickham when they went on that amazing run, they have fallen away a little bit, and they've picked up a couple of wins. They're very good for a late winner, for a late equaliser. They are a team that plays till the end, and they've got impressive character. But generally, and it would have seemed ridiculous if you said this 3 weeks ago, when Plymouth were bottom of the league, generally I think that there's not very much between these teams, and you can say that about most of the teams from 8th to 24th, maybe to 23rd in League One. So in that sense, for Plymouth, who are on a high at the moment, and Wickham slightly less so, I don't think there's much between these two teams really. There's only 5 points between them in the table now, and Plymouth and BTTS at 5-1, something that we both decided we fancied independently. So that'll be the big focus for us this weekend, the game at Adams Park between Wickham and Plymouth. If that could be a winner, then that could be a huge, huge boost for us this weekend. I hope you've enjoyed this betting show. If you have done, please share it. Please let us know what you fancy this weekend. Please let us know what you think about our selections. It's always great to hear from you guys. And please do go and listen to the interview with Daryl Clark. That's our third one of the season in this sort of theme of this series, NTT 20 Pod Meets. George, obviously, sitting down with Michael Appleton. And then I've done a similar thing with Paul Heckingbottom and Daryl Clark. We really feel really good about this series, not just because we enjoy meeting managers and talking to managers, but we think that the situation that we're putting them in, and the relaxed atmosphere, I suppose, and the fact that we are not necessarily looking for one big juicy quote, but just trying to give you guys a bit more of a relaxed scenario where you can get to know these guys a bit better. And I think that Daryl was the perfect subject for that. He was so open, so honest. I really could barely get a word in edgeways. So it's been going down really well. Thank you for all the kind messages. And please do send in any suggestions for any future managers you'd like us to sit down with, especially if you've got their number. We'd love to hear from you. So it's been a great week, a tripod week, three pods from us this week. Hope you're enjoying all the output, and until next Monday's podcast, that is it from us.